This recording is part of the Northern California Tape Library about alcoholism. It was recorded on June 26, 1993 at the NCCAA Summer Conference held in Redding, California. The speaker is Bill C. of Fresno, California from General Service. Please observe the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous and do not play this recording for entertainment or commercial purposes. Please do not break the anonymity of the speaker or any AA member at any public level. The original recording and its copy were both made by the Northern California Tape Library of 2033 Marla Street, Modesto, California, zip 95351.
Interior Area General Service Panel 42 Delegates, who will share with us his report from the 43rd Annual General Service Conference held in April in New York City. Welcome, Bill.
My name is Bill, and I'm a real alcoholic. For those that be standing in the back, we have plenty of seats up front here. God, this is great. It's good to be here. And it's good to be here and be sober. And as a friend of mine says, fully clothed, in my right mind and scared to death. But it is indeed a pleasure to be here and to serve the California Northern Interior Area of General Service as the Panel 42 Delegate of the General Service Conference. The way we identify at the conference is I'm Bill Cross, and I'm the Panel 42 Delegate, Area 07, California, Northern Interior Area, and I always like to add the best area in all of Alcoholics Anonymous, U.S. and Canada, because I truly believe that. California coastal is close. But we identify that way, and some people say, well, what's this Panel 42 stuff, you know? Panel 42, the General Service Conference was originally established in 1950. And the Panel 42 simply indicates that it was in 1992, was my first panel. I was elected in 91, served the first panel in 92. And then I served my second and last panel this past April in 93. So when you hear somebody get up and talk about panels, that's what we're talking about. I don't know why the hell we can't say year, you know, for 1992 or something like that. But far be it from General Service to keep it simple. And also, when we talk about Area 07, AA has come into the computer age, and rather than say California Northern Interior Area, we say 07 because that's a lot easier to punch into a computer, and when they see that come out, everybody knows what that is. So now you know who I am and what I am and what have you. I've got my little name tag on today, and God, isn't that pretty? I got to tell you about this. See, this is California Northern Interior Area, Bill Cross, Chairman of the Grapevine Committee. I'm going to talk to you about some of that stuff. But you see all these shiny little gadgets on here. I got to tell you, delegates got to have fun. If you're going to go to New York and you're going to spend 8 days there, the status thing is to get as many little buttons to put on here as you can. And the only thing is, I didn't take any back there to give out with me, but I got enough. So, you know, the delegates do have a little fun back there. And God, you know, and I was sitting here looking at this, and I've been most of these places. But I just wanted to show that off a little bit. It's one of those little things from the conference. I have something I want to read to you in the vein of, it's not conference approved, so I'm going to use that little disclaimer right now. But it's in the vein of this year's conference, and the theme was AA takes its inventory, the General Service Conference structure. And it's not a new theme. We had that same theme in 1981. But I think it's appropriate for us in Alcoholics Anonymous to take our inventory on a periodic basis. I was sitting in the NCCAA steering committee meeting this morning, and there was some discussion about a finance committee, and I don't want to get into that. But there's some concern about an Alcoholics Anonymous from time to time that we can create new committees and we can kind of grow like an octopus or something and do this and do that and establish this and that. And I think the process of taking inventory from time to time and being responsible, you know, it's good for us to take a look at ourselves. Is this really necessary? Does this really help us with that fifth tradition, our primary purpose, to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers? Or is it simply something that is convenient? I don't know. But I think that's kind of what the inventory process talks about. And I think it also talks about something called maturity. You know, when Bill Wilson turned this thing over to us in St. Louis in 1955, when the conference was formally adopted, permanently, you know, we talk about AA comes of age. And what I want to read you is something I think fits in with this theme. Maturity and inventory. Maturity is the ability to control anger and settle differences without violence or destruction. Physically and whatever. Maturity is patience. It is a willingness to pass up immediate pleasure in favor of long-term gain. Maturity is perseverance, the ability to sweat out a project or a situation in spite of heavy opposition and discouraging setbacks. Maturity is a capacity to face unpleasantness and frustration, discomfort and defeat without complaint or collapse. Maturity is humility. It is being big enough to say, I was wrong, and when you're right, you need not say, I told you so. Maturity is the ability to make a decision and follow through. The immature spend their lives exploring endless possibilities and then do nothing. Maturity means dependability, keeping one's word and coming through in a crisis. The immature are masters of the alibi. They are conflicted and disorganized. Their lives are a maze of broken promises, former friends, unfinished business, and good intentions that never materialize. And, based on the Serenity Prayer, maturity is the art of living in peace with what we cannot change, the courage to change what we know should be changed, and the wisdom to know the difference. So, we took our inventory this year at the General Service Conference. And I don't think it's anywhere any better illustrated than there were 116 items that came before the conference this year in the committees. Now, let me tell you what a good indication, I think, of the inventory process and maturity and using some discretion and so forth is the fact that only 37 out of those 116 things became advisory actions. You know, that's less than a third of the things that were brought to the conference that we felt necessary, that the conference felt was necessary to say, okay, this is what the direction that we think Alcoholics Anonymous should be going. So I think that speaks a lot of maturity. I think that speaks taking a look at oneself to see, do we really need to try to fix every little, well, do we need to micromanage or macromanage every little detail in Alcoholics Anonymous? And I think this year's conference demonstrated that we don't have to do that. This year's conference, we had 133 conference members. That's usually around the figure. It usually runs about 132, 133, 134, somewhere around there. 91 of which are delegates like myself who have the pleasure of serving a geographical area throughout the United States and Canada. And out of the 133, not to give you a lot of statistical garbage to confound things, but if you're new and you're not real familiar with the structure, that 133 includes our 21 trustees, who are the ones who take care of Alcoholics Anonymous business on a day-to-day basis. And they're the ones who, there's 14 Class Bs, and there are 7 Class A trustees out of the 21. Now, so you don't get confused or anything, let me give you a real simple formula for keeping track of that. The Class A's, the 7 Class A's, are non-alcoholics, or if you want a real easy way to remember that, they're the amateurs. They're not professional drinkers, but they can drink. You know what I mean? And then there are 14 Class B trustees, and to help you remember those are the boozers. The only thing is, though, in the city of New York and the state of New York, and this is why I'd love to be a trustee someday, they're ex-alcoholics. Did you know that? The Class B trustees, because in the state of New York, under the corporate laws of the state of New York, an alcoholic cannot be a member of a corporate board. But an ex-alcoholic can be a member of a corporate board. Come to think of it, maybe I don't want to be a trustee either. Maybe I'll just stay recovering, you know, and keep trying. So that's one part of the conference. Okay, there's 91 delegates such as myself. There are 21 of the trustees, and those, by the way, those people are elected by or approved by the conference. And then there's about five directors of the two corporate boards that we have in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I won't get into explaining that to you. And then there's about 16 staff members, because if you read the concepts, you know, under the right of decision, the right of participation, our staff employees at the General Service Office in New York are entitled to participate in the process. So when you throw it all together, it comes out to about 133 people. However, Bill Wilson designed the process so that the delegates, such as myself, as a group, would always outnumber them others, you know, the other people that participate in the conference. Now, that sounds great. You'd think, well, geez, if anything goes crazy, you can get those 91 delegates to do something together, or they can, you know. I'm going to tell you something. It's a virtual impossibility to get 91 delegates, 45 delegates, to all agree on one thing. It just simply doesn't happen. But what I'm saying is that the business of Alcoholics Anonymous gets done, and there is that kind of a little control factor. So I want to talk about some of the things that went on at the conference. But before I get into the meat of this, I want to tell you about next year's theme. I told you this year's theme was AA Takes Its Inventory, the General Service Conference Structure. Next year's theme is going to be the Spirit of Sacrifice. And one of the presentations is going to be the Spirit of Sacrifice, Bill Wilson's last talk in 1970 when he addressed the International Conference. And then the second part of that theme of the Spirit of Sacrifice will be the final talk of Dr. Bob Smith that he gave. I forget where that conference was held, but anyways, it would have been in Cleveland. Hell, he died in 51, so it would have been in Cleveland. So the Spirit of Sacrifice, the final talks of AA's co-founders. And there's a new pamphlet out now that has a lot of history and background. If you want to start looking at that for some of your district meetings or your group meetings, and maybe start talking about the Spirit of Sacrifice in the view of the last talks of our co-founders. And then they're going to have workshops on the Spirit of Sacrifice, and this is something that's very dear to my own heart. I got to tell you, just about every delegate has some particular thing that he really loves, or he really thinks is important for Alcoholics Anonymous. And my thing is the long form of the traditions, because in my experience in General Service, I know for a fact that about 95% of the calls that I get from groups saying, "Can they do this? Can we do this? Can they do that?" and this sort of thing. If you go back to the long form of the traditions, for Christ's sakes, you get the answer. You know, what's happened to us in this program of ours, again, you know, we like to shorten things up. We like to keep it so simple that we can't understand it. Now, that may sound paradoxical, but that's what we do in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so we've read the short form of the traditions, and we've become so accustomed to reading that. I was teasing a while ago, wanting to have the long form of the traditions read up here, but Jerry, he exercised his right of decision and went ahead and read the short form. But what I have found is about 95 to 98% of the problems that people call me about can be solved by just reading that long form and working through it. And Bill Wilson tells us that. When he wrote that short form of the traditions in 1949, what did he say when he published those, began to publish them? He said, "We have now put the traditions in a short form for two target audiences. First, for the information of the public so they'll know what Alcoholics Anonymous is about. Secondly, for the newcomers who, if you were like me when I first came around here, if you had given me the long form of the traditions, I'd have been just as lost reading those as it was just hopeless for me to try to read the big book." But Bill told us that that's what he did, that short form. That's what he and Earl Treat sat down at Wits End and wrote the short form for, was for the newcomers and for the information of the public. The rest of us are supposed to be using the long form. So, enough preaching. The conference is great. When I talk about next year, the Spirit of Sacrifice, they're going to have presentations on the long form of the traditions. God, I'd give anything to go back for you one more time. I'd love to hear those presentations. There'll be one on the long form of traditions 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And then the last part of the theme of Spirit of Sacrifice is going to be the 12th step. The Spirit of Sacrifice and the 12th step. So next year, you've got a lot of things to take a look at, a lot of things to think about, and I know you're going to have a lot of fun with it, and I know that I am also. Okay, the biggie this year was a medallion issue. I love Alcoholics and Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love the way we do business. We only spent about 10 hours on this at the conference. Now, you take 10 hours of time at the conference, that's a lot of time to spend on something. And this process has been going on for a number of years now, taking a look at it. I'm not going to get into a lot of the detail of what went on during 10 hours of discussion, because I'm going to tell you something. You get a bunch of drunks talking about stuff, and particularly give them some legal considerations, and it can get real tedious. And then when we start getting into some of our processes that we use at the conference, and people start saying, I want to change my vote on this and change my vote on that, you have a tendency to want to commit suicide, you know. God, are we ever going to get through this, you know? Or that's already been said. But, you know, the process works. And what happened basically with the medallions is that the medallions with the logo is that the day that the conference began, our corporate attorneys, our corporate legal people, told us we were going to lose in court on the medallion issue. And they recommended what they called, in simple terms, an orderly withdrawal from litigation. Now, the conference ad hoc committee had already spent a weekend discussing the traditions and the concepts, and it prepared a beautiful paper about a month and a half before the conference. And it was beautifully done, but it had not one recommendation in it. Then the day before the conference started in April, that same ad hoc committee got together and came up with five recommendations to the conference. And the recommendations were essentially get out of the lawsuit business. Now, they presented two recommendations to the conference. Number one of which was simply a reaffirmation of what has gone on before, and that is that it is not the business of the conference to tell groups, excuse me, whether or not they should use medallions. In other words, the use of medallions by groups, districts, or anything else in Alcoholics Anonymous, it comes under the right of autonomy. The groups can make their own decisions if they want to use anniversary medallions. Some groups use little certificates, some just do birthday cakes, others use marbles, or whatever. And then the second thing that the conference took a look at and a recommendation that they made was, what we recommend is that neither AA World Services nor the AA Grapevine, our two corporate entities, produce anniversary medallions. Now, that took about 30 minutes for us to get through 40% of what they recommended. And then we hit the snag, which was the third thing that they recommended, and that is that the conference go on record stating that the pursuit of litigation is a violation of Warranty 5 and Concept 12. Well, it is. But I'm going to tell you something about Alcoholics Anonymous around here, and the reason I read this little thing about maturity, we have a tendency to try to gut each other from time to time. Now, if you read me a statement like, the conference should go on record as it's a violation of Warranty 5 of Concept 12, let me tell you, that is not a real polite way to say something, to accuse the trustees and our General Service Office staff of violating our warranties and concepts. How much nicer it would have been would have something to this effect. The conference feels that that litigation might possibly not be in the spirit of Warranty 5 in Concept 12. But you see, when you start this thing with inflammatory language, and in the conference from then on, it was just nuts making. But you know, we got through it. And the final outcome was, and I was a little bit disappointed in this, the conference never did come to a conclusion. But then after I got home, I got to thinking, that's not bad. Kind of leave it open-ended. The trustee says we're not going to pursue the litigation. Our attorney has told us not to, and we would have to be severely retarded or have drank too long to not have gotten the message in 10 hours of discussion that the conference wants some medallions with a logo and wants us out of litigation. And so the trustees said that, and the conference accepted that. Now, you will read that somewhere in your final conference report, a statement from Gene Smith, who at that time was the chairman of AA World Services. So, I could not believe it. The fastest I have ever seen Alcoholics Anonymous move in my life was less than 4 days after the conference was over. Letters had been sent out by the trustees advising the various medallion makers that we would no longer be enforcing the trademark on circle and triangle. Now, I'm going to get off of this because we could spend the rest of the time that I have discussing this, but I want you to know what we're talking about is the circle and triangle only, okay? If you look in the service manual, we have other logos and registered trademarks. For example, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, Big Book, Grapevine, Box 459, Box 1180, and we have some others, okay? Those things we're not giving up the litigation on if those become a problem. The only thing we're talking about no longer pursuing in litigation is the circle and triangle logo. And it doesn't matter which of the four logos you see in the service manual, but we're talking about the circle and triangle only. Now, what you cannot do is take the circle and triangle and put AA in it. Okay? Because up above, that's one of our other trademarks, isn't it? So you can't do that. Now, you can take the circle and triangle and put Recovery, Unity, and Service, because those are not registered trademarks. You cannot take the circle and triangle logo that says General Service Conference. Not because we're going to litigate over the fact that it's a violation of our trademark. If you use that one, what would you be doing? You'd actually be perpetrating a fraud. You'd be trying to imply that something you're producing is conference approved by using General Service Conference. So basically, that's the guidelines. And like I said, less than 4 days after that conference was over, the trustees had notified the medallion makers, and I could not believe it. I took a 2-week vacation after the conference, and before I could get home, one medallion manufacturer had already notified everybody throughout the country medallions would be available on May 15th with a circle and triangle logo. I understand that as of June 15th, and for those of you that are a little wealthier than the rest of us, you can get them in silver and gold as of June 15th. So anyway, that's basically a little bit of the history, and if you have a question about that, please see me after the meeting. There's another thing that this year's conference has decided, the General Service Conference, they will no longer do, and that's provide mailing labels for conferences, roundups, and conventions. I could not believe, I had the privilege of going back for the Board of Trustees meeting in January, and for the first time I became aware that the General Service Office, since we've been into computers, has been providing mailing labels from the General Service Conference Computer Data Bank of Alcoholics Anonymous members. Now, when you register your home group or you start a new group, you send in a little form. It has a secretary, a treasurer, maybe a steering committee, and a lot of people's names on it. And I think that you probably have the right to expect anonymity for those people because we're using full names on those forms. Well, what New York had done, and please understand what their motive was. It was to be helpful. It was not to be hurtful to anyone. But for years they had been supplying mailing labels from the computer for conferences, roundups, and conventions that would write and say, we're going to hold one. Would you send us a list of the people in our area? And I was real uncomfortable with that. And as a result of that uncomfortability, and also a number of other delegates, this came up on the conference floor, and we will no longer be providing mailing labels for conferences, conventions, and roundups. And the way this developed is, as the discussion began to take place, a delegate popped up over here and says, I want every record from my area removed from the GSO computer. Another delegate popped up over here and says, I want every record from my area removed from the GSO computer. And George Dorsey was just blanching white. I mean, I just love him to death. And about that time, a trustee got up and says, I think we got the message. But we went ahead with that one and made it a floor action anyway, because we wanted to put a period to this. If you send in something with my name on it or your name, and it's to become GSO records, because we need that information to mail out stuff from New York, right? We need those mailing lists, but we're simply not going to provide them anymore to conferences and conventions and roundups. Okay, the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee said, we're not going to limit contributions from conferences to the same as they are for individuals. Now, last year we were told that this would cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000 at the 92 conference, at the 42nd conference, if we were to impose the same limitation on conferences as we do on individuals. Please go back and think about the history of the limitation of contributions. The purpose of a limitation was, he who pays the piper calls the tune, right? So if we accepted too much money from any individual, then possibly, or maybe any major organization, possibly they may want us to do a favor in return. So the wisdom of our elders and the foundation in the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous was to limit those contributions so that we would not feel under any obligation and we could pursue on a spiritual plane rather than feeling a debt owed. And some people, the current limitation for an individual, you as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, can contribute up to $1,000 in a calendar year to the General Service Office, okay? And some people thought that same limitation should apply to conferences, conventions, and roundups. I've got to tell you what my philosophy always was on conferences, conventions, and roundups. When the Yosemite Summit Conference, for example, makes a $2,500 donation to the General Service Office, I've always considered that $2,501 contributions. Because you're not going to get 2,500 people at the Yosemite Summit Conference together to exert undue influence on New York. Now that's always been kind of my personal feeling. And apparently it must have been the feeling of the majority of the delegates, because we're not going to impose that. I think NCCAA, wasn't it a $10,000 or $12,000 contribution or something last year to New York? See, what happens is if conferences go along and are successful, what the hell are they going to do with the money? And I think also that probably it's a good place to put it. You know, our concepts and traditions tell us we're not to accumulate funds for any unstated AA purpose. And conferences who are run as successfully as this one or some of the others could, over a period of time, there could be. So, the conference said, no, we're not going to change that. And what have you. Another thing that the Finance Committee did, they're going to redo the pamphlet, AA and Self-Support, Self-Supporting in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, I know that there are some central office people here, and so don't take anything personal I say, But what they wanted to do was they wanted to take the percentages and the pie charts out of the pamphlet, the little green pamphlet, AA and self-support. If you remember a few years ago, some people got upset because we had the pie charts in there and it suggested various options or plans. The 50-30-10-10 plan. And then I believe at one time it was the 60-30-10 plan and then the 60-35-5 and so forth. And it kind of gave people an idea of what to do with excess group contributions. Okay, we're talking about excess group contributions. My fear is in taking that out, and it's being taken out. We're taking out the percentages and we're taking out the pie charts, and we're going to put out a pamphlet that tells you how wonderful GSO is and why you should support it. The problem that I see with that is who are the people elected to be group secretaries and group officers? A lot of times group secretaries or meeting secretaries are the newest of the new, and if a secretary happens to also have a financial responsibility to the group, I'll tell you, the pamphlet that had the pie charts and the percentages, and it was a real good thing to hand to that new person and say, here's a suggested plan, or the group has told him what to do. My fear is that what's going to happen over a period of a couple of years is that all contributions are going to wind up going to a central office. And that, because here's what, and here's the reason I fear this. It may not happen, but there are some of us that are concerned about it because it'll be the simplest thing to do. What's the most visible service entity in your local community I'm talking about? Not you. I'm not preaching to the choir. You people who have a vision of Alcoholics Anonymous worldwide. But I'm talking about in a community and where people are going to meetings, recovering, and that sort of thing. You have a tendency to be a little parochial, and a central office is it. Okay? And my fear is that without the pie charts and the percentages, it may become the easier, softer way just to make all contributions to the central office. I hope that doesn't happen, and I hope that I'm wrong, but that's the reason that I oppose taking those out of there. And if you're a central office manager, don't go home and say, you should have heard Bill Cross badmouthing us. That's not the case. I just want to make sure that we have a responsibility to all levels of service, and I want to make sure that those are taken care of. Okay, the Grapevine Committee, which is my committee, we are not going to have a quarterly Spanish Grapevine, 8-page Grapevine. It's just too expensive. And finally, the staff got it together and realized that we would have to almost replicate the staff we have now. It would be an expensive proposition. And there are four other Grapevines throughout the world that are available in Spanish. One from Spain, one from Bolivia, one from Ecuador, and one from the General Service Office in Mexico City. So there are Spanish language Grapevines that are available, albeit from other countries. But Spanish is Spanish, I believe, in writing. I don't know, we may pronounce it differently, but I think in writing, isn't it pretty much the same? So the conference Grapevine Committee just simply felt, and the conference agreed, that we just can't afford it. It's just too risky. There is other material that's available. Now, the trade-off for that was that we are going to continue the one monthly article in Spanish in the Grapevine to try to do something for the Spanish community. It's not a whole lot. We are not going to place Grapevine materials in commercial outlets. That was brought up at the conference, talked about at the committee, and I am tickled to death by that. It had to be a trustee to bring that up or something. No delegate with any common sense would have brought that to the conference. But they wanted to start putting Grapevine materials in commercial outlets. Can you imagine that scenario of having to have a sales force to go out to bookstores and solicit displays and put Alcoholics Anonymous material? Can you imagine? And then we'd have to discount it to them so that they could make a profit, right? And I mean, you talk about getting yourself into a can of worms. No, including myself. I'll tell you, when you're chairman of a committee, it sure requires a lot of restraint. I wanted the gray pages back personally, but we're not going to get them back. Our committee recommended that we do put the gray pages back. The Congress says, no, we took those out a couple of years ago. They're going to stay out. No, okay. There was also a consideration at the conference to take that little meeting in print out from under the grapevine that's on the cover, where on the cover of the grapevine it says grapevine, and right below it in a little bitty print it says meeting in print. And somebody thought that was too restrictive, and they felt that that ought to be taken off of the masthead of the grapevine because people felt that they had to tell just recovery stories, and therefore we're kind of limiting the scope of the magazine. I'm constantly amazed at the things we get concerned over. We're not going to take it off of the magazine. We're going to leave it there. There was also a motion, and this was a fairly important one for the health and the well-being of the grapevine, and that was to eliminate pocket planners and wall calendars. Now, to do this would cost the grapevine $47,000 a year. The grapevine, unlike the other corporate boards or our publishing arm, cannot borrow from AA World Services. The grapevine, by its own charter, has to be self-supporting. Not through contributions. We don't get contributions. We can borrow a little money if we need to get us through, but we are required to be self-supporting, preferably through subscriptions. And I don't think there's a person in this room that probably doesn't think that's a good idea. I mean, the grapevine, let's face it, has a reputation, whether you like it or not, and whether anybody wants to hear it said or not, as being a purveyor of drunk junk. Because every year we come out with something new to generate some income. And I'm not always sure that doing something for income is a good motive. You know? But that's, you know, nevertheless, that's what's happened over the years. Now, this suggestion to eliminate the pocket planners and the wall calendars would cost the grapevine $47,000 a year in income, which equates to 12,000 subscriptions. The grapevine subscriptions have dropped off by 15,000 subscriptions in the last 18 months. That's crazy. We're going the wrong way, folks. We peaked at about 137,000, and the first of this year we were down to a little under 122,000 subscriptions. We need 150,000 to be self-supporting through subscriptions. And if we ever achieve that ideal, then we'll be able to pick and choose the things that we produce, and we'll be able to produce quality material like Language of the Heart, a quality publication, rather than coming up with history tapes of grapevine articles and a lot of other stuff. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those. I'm just simply saying when you have more choices and more freedom, you probably produce more quality of stuff that is needed. And again, this proposal here would have cost us, taken us down another 12,000 when we need to be going the other way and reach 150,000 to be self-supporting. My committee felt that we needed to do this, and I voted against my own committee, and that will drive other delegates nuts when they see the chairman voting against his own committee. But, you know, what the heck. And the reason was strictly financial. It was not any spiritual giant theory or anything else here. We just can't afford to lose it at this point. But the conference did pass it as a majority recommendation, which those of you who understand know that that means it's a strong suggestion. Probably by about 1994, you will no longer be able to get pocket planners and wall calendars. So, literature. This is one that interests everybody. You're going to have your own little anonymity card, folks. So you can take the Al-Anon anonymity card that says, who you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. And you can throw that away, because now we're going to produce one for you to buy. And it's going to say this, and really this is nice, but again, it's one of those things, if you have something that's available somewhere, I'm not sure that we need to produce something, you know, something else. But it says, and this is what you'll be able to purchase, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Please respect this and treat in confidence who you see and what you hear. And then that will have some kind of an indication on it that it comes from AA World Services, and you will feel much better than using the Al-Anon one. Again, I excuse me sometimes for a little bit of cynicism, but I think we need to take a look at the motives behind some of the stuff we do. We're not going to rewrite the first three chapters of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, so you can rest easy. Somebody thought we ought to rewrite those, and the conference says no. Somebody thought we ought to rewrite the 164 pages in simplified language. Can you imagine simplifying those 164 pages like we simplified the 12 Steps Illustrated? There will be no reproduction or facsimile of the first edition, first printing of the big book, that big red thing. There was consideration given to producing such a souvenir item. And my feeling was it would have been an excellent item to produce for the 1995 International Conference. But the conference felt, no, that they didn't want to do that. But now, I've told you some little negative stuff. I want to give you the biggie. And that is, folks, you're going to be able to buy an itty-bitty big book. What are you laughing about, Tim? Yeah, you're going to be able to get the first 164 pages, the doctor's opinion, the forewords, the preface, and the appendices in Dr. Bob's story in a pocket-sized edition of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, this is not important to anybody over age 30, because I don't know how in the hell you're going to read it without a magnifying glass, and we're not going to issue magnifying glasses with each new book. I mean, come on. Get real. Now, I'm being a little cynical about this because I want to tell you this. The motivation behind this was money. It was not out of any expressed need. Okay? It was money, pure and simple. And the trustee who brought it before the trustees committee and so forth says, other people are producing this item and they're selling them. Why shouldn't AA World Services produce them and sell them? And I got to tell you, that's a motive that makes me uncomfortable when we start producing things for that purpose. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to be the first one in line in the central office to buy one of these when it comes out. I mean, I'm an AA junkie, and I'll buy it. What I'm trying to communicate to you as one of your delegates is I'm uncomfortable with this kind of motive. Please try to understand that. Another thing, you are not going to get the history book. Okay, remember a few years ago we came out with AA Comes of Age, and that became the standard text for people in general service and the people to know about the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. 7 years ago, the conference says we need to update something that will take us from where AA Comes of Age ends to the present. And this year's conference says we're going to put that project on the shelf for a minimum of 2 years, and you are not going to get a history book. Now, I got to tell you some more cynical stuff, okay? I just have trouble being comfortable with putting an item on the shelf and maybe killing it that we've already spent $400,000 of Alcoholics Anonymous money on. Up until this conference, we had spent $395,000 on this updated history book. And what the conference has said to you is you're not going to get it. Now, wasting the money, if it is a waste, is bad enough. But the thing that really upsets me is as your delegate, I was not given the opportunity to read that manuscript and to make an informed decision. And that upsets me more than just about anything else. I would like to have seen that manuscript to be able to make a judgment. However, the way the conference works is sometimes we have to rely on the judgment of committees. whatever, you are not going to get it. I want to tell you also that delegate terms are going to stay at 2 years, are not going to be three. And I hear some applause back here, and I think that's nice. I mean, it'd be nice to go back. I'd like to go back, and I told you, didn't I? I'd like to go back and hear that long form of the traditions being discussed back there. But I think the problem with this is logistical. It's not so much that it would, but you know, we'd have to elect GSRs for 3 years, and you can't get them for one now. You know, I mean, most of them. And we'd have to elect DCMs to serve for 3 years. I mean, we'd have to change the whole structure in order to make it possible for delegates to go back. Either that or what's going to happen, you're going to be changing horses in midstream. The delegates all of a sudden going to get a bunch of new DCMs and GSRs. And I really foresee a lot of chaos. So, we're not going to change that. There was a recommendation to create three new committees. One of those was to be a committee on international convention and regional forums. And the delegate says, we don't need that. We don't need to be concerned with that. We take care of that during a dinner meeting at the conference. We don't need to set up a whole committee for it. There was a recommendation that we have an archives committee. Just my personal feeling is sometimes I just love archives and history so much. I'd like, you know, my own personal interest. But we really don't need it. And the conference said that. And we're not going to set up a committee, a conference committee for AA World Services. They feel that, well, if the Grapevine has a conference committee, why shouldn't AAWS? Well, we said that's not a good enough argument. There was an item on the delegates questionnaire that I've given to you about confidentiality. And what I want you to know is that the conference said, the report and charter committee at the conference said, but they said it would be appropriate at times when we're dealing in legal matters maybe to be confidential. Otherwise, and there may be certain times when we're preparing a manuscript of something that we would want to limit that to a committee, but we are not going to have AA is an open society and should remain an open society and have no secrets from one another. Unless there's an extremely compelling reason to do so, primarily legal. The report and charter committee is going to be putting in a new service manual. The idea that we now can have linguistic, they call them linguistic, not ethnic. We can have linguistic districts. A lot of areas have been doing this for a number of years, but now it will be in the service manual. Traditionally, districts in general service have been geographical. You have a geographical area, okay, maybe like Fresno County, where I come from, that they would have. We have four districts there, and they're geographically limited. Now, with this linguistic district concept, which is not anything new, but it's new for the manual, we would be able to create perhaps a Spanish-speaking district that would extend from maybe Fresno to Sacramento. And that would be a district of Spanish-speaking groups who would have to have bilingual DCMs that at least could communicate with the rest of us. But they would then be able, by this linguistic type of a district, to participate more fully in general service. And then they're going to put in a couple of other, I think one thing that Coastal has, I think you were telling me that has a district committee chairs or something, you have a little extra layer of structure in there. And they're going to put that in addition. I think we had had LCMs or something, local committee members in there before. We're now going to put DCMCs in there. And so what we're doing is kind of opening up and giving areas and districts some options. And I think that's good. There was a consideration by the report and charter committee to discontinue. This comes up periodically, I'm sure. To discontinue sending the final conference report to all groups, or GSRs. And the conference says, no, that is something we need to do. There was also another consideration, and that was for the report and charter committee to consider putting the long form, or adopting the long form of the traditions as part of the bylaws of the General Service Conference. And I got to tell you that that was one that was close to my heart. But they said, no, we don't think that's necessary. We think the charter works fine, and we think the law and form of the traditions are well accepted. And I accede to the conference's judgment. Not as good as mine, but I accede to their judgment. As far as the trustees go, another item that had come up, you may have heard that there was some consideration of allowing a Class B trustee. That's the boozer, that's the alcoholic, that's the ex-alcoholic, to serve as chairman of the General Service Board of Trustees. That's never been done. It's never been particularly prohibited. It's just never been done. And what this year's conference says is we're going to put that over to 1994 and take a little closer look at it. I got to tell you this. My personal feeling about this sort of thing is this. If AA has truly come of age, it's probably possible that we have some very good Class B trustees who could serve as chairman of the board if we desire to do that. And I don't want to get into all the arguments pro and con, because some people say, well, yeah, but if we had a Class B trustee as chairman of the board, he couldn't go get the Lasker Award for us or whatever. Well, you still got seven other non-drunks. And you can ship one of them over to take care of your stuff that would involve anonymity. Sorry, I mean, that's how simple that seems to me, to take care of that problem. But they're going to take a look at it next year. They changed some of the terms of trustees, and these were Class A trustees. They want to limit them to 2 3-year terms. Currently, a Class A trustee, non-alcoholic now, remember we're talking about non-alcoholics, could serve 3 3-year terms. And what this conference recommended is that we limit that to 6 years, 2 3-year terms rather than 9. And the thinking of the conference was that that's a hell of a commitment to ask non-alcoholics to make to us, is for 9 years. It wasn't particularly, there wasn't any displeasure with Class A trustees. It's just simply, that's an awful lot to ask of Friends of Alcoholics Anonymous. So we decided, this conference decided, let's make that 2 3-year terms, and we can add a third 3-year term if we really, really, really think it's necessary. Does that kind of defeat the whole idea of reducing it to 6? To say that there's now an exception? I don't know. You be the judge. But that's what we did. The chairman of the General Service Board at the current time will be limited to 4 years. That used to be 6 years. We're now limiting that to 4. By the way, this area and this region, we're real fortunate. We have the Class A chairman of the Board of Trustees who lives in Jim Estelle. He's non-alcoholic, so I can use his name. It lives in El Dorado Hills, chairman of the Board of Trustees. And, that's quite nice. And also within this region to which we belong, the Pacific region, we have a Grapevine trustee, Fran Pollock, up in Washington. We have a doctor who serves at the University of Nevada that's in this region. We have a regional trustee, and we just elected at this past conference Larry Nelson out of San Diego Imperial to be our U.S. trustee at large. So this region now, we have excellent representation on the Board of Trustees. From this region, of which you belong, we have about 25% of the trustees. So, you know, this region is going to be well served. And that's not to imply that we're not now. Basically, those are some of the highlights in the conference. And just in closing, and then I'll take, if there's a time for a question or two, I'd be glad to try to answer that. Or if you have a question, please see me after the meeting. But one of my things that I've become acutely aware of is GSRs and how absolutely critically important they are to delegates and to groups. And I have also become acutely aware of how we select most GSRs, and that is the first guy that gets up when we have an election and goes to the head comes back and is now GSR. Or the guy that cannot stay sober more than 6 months at a time, he comes and stumbles into the meeting, the business meeting, and we know absolutely that he will stay sober if we make him GSR and give him some responsibility. Or we have the individual, much of the same nature as myself, who figures, God, it'd be nice to have a title in Alcoholics Anonymous. So we, you know, he does a little campaigning, gets elected GSR. 3 months later realizes, oh, crap. What have I got myself into now? And doesn't show up anymore. And I guess what I'm saying is we're coming up, particularly in our area in November, we're going to be having GSR elections and DCM elections. And what I'm saying is, please, those people that you're considering in your home group or in your district, explain to them the commitment that is necessary for a GSR. And explain to them, we expect you to go to monthly district meetings. We expect you to go to 4 assemblies a year. And we will do everything within our power to help you financially to do this. Then, convince your business meeting to do this. It would be nice if you have a GSR to allow him to give you a report occasionally. Or her. So, what I'm saying is, this whole structure, if it's going to work and if it's going to be healthy, is not going to be because of Bill Cross and any great oratorical or managerial or other skills that anybody who replaces me may have. It's going to be built from the GSR up, and it's good. That's where the communication is going to be. And so I want to close with an old Nigerian saying here. Not to know is bad. Not to want to know is worse. Not to hope is unthinkable. And not to care is unforgivable. Thanks for your attention.